The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Get ready for it, Max, on this Friday Eve. Stephen A's favorite because he works 365, 7 days a week. Stephen A, Max, I'm Molly. What's going on? Good to be back with you guys.
Good to see you, Molly.
Good to have you back.
All right. Let's do this because we got a big one coming up here. Nets and Lakers, y'all know what it is. Unfortunately, no Anthony Davis. He's out with the calf. KD's out with the hammy. So it'll be King James versus former teammate Kyrie Irving. I'm here for all of it. And James Harden, coast to coast, BK versus LA. Stephen A., talk to me here. What does this game mean for Kyrie and LeBron?
For LeBron, it's another game. For Kyrie, I think it's a big game. And I will confess to you that I didn't really think about it much other than because KD was out and Anthony Davis was out. But I got to tell you something. I was doing my SportsCenter with Stephen A. Smith show last night, and I had Mike Wilbon on, the great Mike Wilbon, for PTI fame, Pardon the Interruption and all of that. We all know and love him well. Here's the deal. He said something. And during his soliloquy, he talked about how Kyrie missed the previous game because he was told that Kyrie wanted to be 100% for tonight's game going up against LeBron James. And I think one of the storylines that has sort of slid under the radar, because again, after they won the championship in Cleveland and ultimately a year later, he wanted out of Cleveland and was granted his wish and ended up going to the Boston Celtics before he would become a free agent a year after that. And then he would decide to take his talents to Brooklyn, New York. What got lost in the shuffle is that, number one, Kyrie Irving wanted to depart from Cleveland, didn't want to be, what did they say, Max? He didn't want to be the son. He didn't want to be the little brother. I wasn't made to be the son. You know, all of that stuff.
Marlo from The Wire. I wasn't made to play the son.
That's right. I wasn't meant to play the son. He wasn't trying to do that, okay? So he wanted out of Cleveland, and then now he has an opportunity to go up against LeBron. And if you remember in the offseason when he was on KD's podcast, I think it was his own podcast, or KD, I don't know, one of those damn podcasts, he was talking to KD and he said basically that you're the first guy that I've played with that I had confidence in more than myself or just as much as myself to give the ball to and say, hey, take us there. And I ain't worried about it. Now, everybody and their mother took it as a shot against LeBron. Kyrie emphatically denied that that was his intent. But even LeBron, when asked about it thereafter, acknowledged that he felt like it was a shot at him. And so there's something there. And so when I listened to Mike Wilbon last night, Max, my mentality in terms of being just recalling, just reminding myself who Kyrie is and what he is, because he's a showstopper. He's a superstar. The brother's box office. You walk through the turnstiles to watch Kyrie Irving.
Best show
he's
in the NBA.
That damn special. He truly is. But you look at him and then you see a guy that he's motivated to put on a show to begin with because his talent just demands that. That's the kind of capability that he has. But when you combine that with the fact that he has said what he has said and his actions has dictated that, guess what? You know what? I'm mad respect for LeBron or whatever, but I'm not trying to play with the brother. I want to go against him. Now you're thinking about KD being out, and all of a sudden you're salivating at this because LeBron doesn't have AD, Kyrie doesn't have KD, but he's got Harden, and he's got a team that's capable of beating the Lakers, particularly without AD. And so now you look at tonight's game, and it's a show. It's him against LeBron. You know LeBron going to be ready because he know Kyrie coming. And Kyrie is coming and is unapologetic about it. And listen, this is not something to create negative headlines. I hope people are not taking it that way. I'm saying when we talking basketball, when we talking basketball here, Max, all right? And you're talking about not just teams going up against each other, but that individual show, because it's not like Kyrie can guard LeBron or something like that because LeBron's just too damn big for him. I'm just talking about two cats who are elite going at one another, looking forward to going at one another. And no matter how much they try to hide it, everybody knows they're going after one another. That is what makes tonight such a compelling matchup. I think Kyrie Irving is going to try to put on a show. I think he's going to try to drop 50, okay? And I think LeBron is going to be right there saying, wait a minute. Have you forgotten who the hell I am? I think it's that kind of matchup, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, your years on the beat, Stephen A., and writing for a paper like the one you did in Philly is showing, because you hit the nail on the head in terms of this storyline. Like, that's the story. For everyone who's like, damn, Lakers, Nets, I was looking forward to this one. This is supposed to be a finals preview. Ah, no AD and no KD. Damn, it's not the same. Well, that's the story right there. Kyrie is coming for LeBron's head. And you bring up Marlo from The Wire. You know, I love to talk about Kyrie that way because Proposition Joe told him, I treated you just like a son. And Marlo's about to have him bumped off.
That's right.
And Marlo says, I wasn't made to play the son. The difference here is if Kyrie ever felt like LeBron was trying to son him, that may be. LeBron ain't Prop Joe. LeBron is the boss of all bosses. This ain't Prop Joe. So the thing about LeBron, and I won't get into what may have happened in their personal relationship in Cleveland, to have Kyrie feeling like this about LeBron. But anyone who plays with LeBron is the sidekick. Anyone. Like, you know, AD is with LeBron. Who's the main man? It's LeBron. Doesn't matter who LeBron's playing with, because he's the best player in the NBA. And there's downside here for Kyrie, Stephen A. And here's the downside, and you touched on that too. There's no AD. LeBron ain't part of a big three. He's on a nicely constructed team, but he's part of an MVP two with AD. AD's out. Kyrie's on a big three, and KD is out, but he still has James Harden. So I hear what you're saying. Kyrie is going to put on a show. No doubt, I think everyone would agree with that, or try. And when Kyrie tries to put on a show is put on. You are not stopping him on offense. He better win. The pressure is on Kyrie to win. Because if he – and by the way, even then, what's the upside, right? Well, LeBron didn't have AD. He's not necessarily supposed to win. But if LeBron beats Kyrie and Kyrie has James Harden, Stephen A., Harden's not in the MVP conversation because of the way he had to get out of Houston and because of the shots he's had to give up.
I think he is in the MVP conversation.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But in reality, he's not going to win the MVP, in other words. But in reality, he's been one of the most valuable players in basketball since he got to Brooklyn. Kyrie has him. You can't lose this game to LeBron if you have Harden and he doesn't have AD.
Well, I think you can lose the game. It's a regular season game, and I'm not going to put that much emphasis on it. What I will tell you is that Kyrie can't stink up the joint while LeBron puts on the show. That can't happen. You know, but if Kyrie loses the game, but he drops 50 and it's a show and they going at one another, we'll all forgive a regular season loss, okay? 30-some-odd games into the season or 30 games in the season. We ain't going to sweat that. It's just that one can't stink up the joint while the other puts on the show. That's the kind of stuff that can happen, and clearly that is the case with Kyrie. I will say this, though. I've actually replaced KD with Harden in the MVP conversation because of KD's injuries and KD obviously being sidelined due to COVID protocols and what have you. I think the combination of those two things have taken him out of that MVP race for now, at least. And I put Harden right up in there because Harden has been absolutely sensational as far as I'm concerned. But make no mistake about it, so has Kyrie Irving. And when you think about Kyrie Irving going up against LeBron James, again, we ain't trying to get into, you know, their relationship, whatever the hell happened. That's their personal business. I don't give a damn about that. What I care about is, I don't need the details as to what has motivated them to want to go up against one another. What has motivated them to be relatively salty with one another, if indeed that is the case. All I'm talking is pure basketball. In a game of basketball, you want individual animosity on the court.
Of course.
You love it. And
Larry
I think
Bird
we have
and Dr.
that here
J
tonight.
With their hands around each other's throats. Look,
I get all that, but...
You misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about he can't lose because of us, because this is not about us. This is not about the media. If it's personal, this is between Kyrie and LeBron. If Kyrie wants to get at LeBron, if he's coming at LeBron's head, that's between those two. What I'm saying is, for the psyche of Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets, don't be aiming at the throne, and you have Harden, and he doesn't have AD, and you lose. Kyrie will put on a show. I know that. I'm confident. They got to win the game.
All right. Can't wait for that. That's tonight. We'll break it all down tomorrow. Lakers favored by 2.5, Nets on a 4-game win streak, trying to keep that alive. Fellas, how about the Aussie Open? The ladies were in action, the semifinals, and we're going to talk a little bit about it here. It was Naomi Osaka beating Serena Williams straight sets, 6-3, 6-4. Here's the GOAT after the match.
People wondered if this is, you were almost saying farewell.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone, so. So.
Last couple questions in the room, please. Yeah, Craig, then.
Srini, you're saying about the unforced errors through the match. Considering how well you've played to get to this stage, what do you feel caused that? Or was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
All right, fellas. Stephen A., obviously Serena, clearly emotional. You could tell she had a lot on her mind there. And obviously they're asking her difficult questions like, is this the end for her? So tell me this. What was the bigger story to you? Was it Naomi Osaka winning and knocking her off, or the fact that Serena lost?
I think it's the fact that Serena lost. Osaka is special. She's a special talent. Mm-hmm. She's a superstar. And the world loves her. Here's the deal. She's 23. She's going to be around for a while. I think we all know that. This young lady has beaten Serena Williams, if I remember correctly, the last three times she has stopped Serena from catching this Grand Slam singles title, which would give her 24, which would tie the great Margaret Court. I mean, and make Serena Williams tie for number one all time in Grand Slam singles titles. She's the GOAT in my mind. She's the GOAT in your mind. She's the GOAT in a lot of people's minds. But I think what you saw with Serena Williams yesterday in terms of her tears and her willingness to depart, you can lose. And this is just me based on my years of reporting. I've been a reporter for over a quarter century now. Just based on reporting and covering champions, it's one thing to lose and to feel like mortality has kicked in and it's really shining brightly in your face because of age, attrition, et cetera, et cetera. But you can still hold on for one more, which I'm hoping Serena Williams will do, because I really wanted to catch Margaret Court, at least catch her, and win one more Grand Slam title. Like, similar to the sport of golf, you can fall short for many years and then have one good tournament like Tiger Woods did with the Masters. Okay, and pull it off. And she's just one shy of this, not four or five, just one. So I would, if I was her, I would continue to go for it and I wouldn't retire yet. But I think that she's contemplating it strongly, in my opinion. And I think that where you saw the tears coming from is the fact that there is one conspicuous wall standing in her way. And that's Naomi Osaka. I mean, you're looking at this young lady and you're like, she's 16 years younger than me. I'm 39. I'm approaching 40 years of age. I'm a mom. Now, I won a title while I was 2 months pregnant in 2017 when I won the Australian Open. I get that. But this is now 3-4 years later. I'm 39, approaching 40. I may not be what I used to be any longer. And here is this one consistent wall that's standing in my way that is showing no signs whatsoever of getting out of my way in Naomi Osaka. And I think that when you have that one conspicuous wall standing in front of you and you can't seem to get over the hump, that's when it becomes a bit more humbling and a bit more difficult to take. Again, I'm just speculating. I don't cover tennis. I don't know Serena. I marvel over her. I think she's sensational. I think she's in the GOAT conversation. She's spectacular. But it's just that with this one young lady, if she was just losing tournaments here and there to different people, that would be different. This one girl keeps standing in her way time after time after time again. And I think Serena sees that and is like, damn, how am I going to overcome that? That's just my personal opinion from afar, of course.
Well, And that's why Osaka's actually the bigger story. Whatever the media focuses on, we should be focusing on Osaka. What you just said about Serena, I think, is right on the money. And this is not football. Like, Tom Brady can't beat Patrick Mahomes if it's a one-on-one contest. He'd get killed. Mahomes way better than Brady right now. But if you have a great offensive line, a great defense, and you're in a team sport, Tom Brady can lead a team past Mahomes. Serena, she got no offensive line. She's got to take out Mahomes one-on-one. The old athlete is not going to do that normally against the great young athlete. But I think that's the reason Osaka's the story, Stephen A. Serena Williams, as you mentioned, she won the Australian Open 4 years ago. Pregnant. She's won 23 singles Grand Slam titles. And besides that, however you want to stack up her career accomplishments against Steffi Graf or Navratilova or whomever, her peak is the highest. If you have the highest peak and you have among the most accomplishments and the whole thing, she's the GOAT. Everyone knows that. But she's at the stage in her career right now, Serena is, where it's gravy. Meaning, when she accomplishes something, that she's accruing greatness, right? It's adding even more to her greatness. If she loses, it doesn't count against her. But had Brady lost the Super Bowl, it wouldn't count against him. He's 43. The fact that he even got there was amazing. Now, the fact that he won it gets him to an even new place. And yes, had Serena beaten Osaka, she's in an even greater place. It is possible for the greatest of all time to achieve even higher levels of greatness and set new standards. But if they don't do it, it doesn't take away from them. And Osaka's the story, Stephen A., because you know who the highest earning female athlete ever is? In a single year, it was Osaka last year. She is extremely marketable. She's also extremely great, already having won multiple singles titles. She has, and by the way, grew up idolizing Serena. And so she's not only marketable and great and has hit number one in the world and is still top three and is a woman of color, by the way. She's now. She's right now. And the fact that Serena didn't get past her, she ain't supposed to get past her. She's old and Osaka is young.
She's not supposed to get past her, but let me tell you something, Max Kellerman. Thank goodness you're not a columnist, because let me tell you something. You'd miss the boat. Ain't nobody in women's sports bigger than Serena Williams. Nobody.
Right.
Even Naomi Osaka.
Who made more money last year in endorsements.
Yeah, I'm just talking about but the subject's the biggest story. And I'm saying the biggest story is Serena, particularly because she may be contemplating retirement and she may be getting pushed into retirement. We're looking at Naomi Osaka, and she ain't going anywhere. She's winning. She's going to continue to win, we all presume. She's going to be around for a long time. And everybody's like, her day has arrived in terms of the talent that she is, even from a marketability standpoint. But when you talk about GOAT status and things of that nature, and the bigger story, you know, the rise of the GOAT, the fall of the GOAT. That's always a bigger story. And that's where Serena Williams comes in. And by the way, just for clarification purposes with the whole Kyrie thing, Mike Wilbon has said that to me during the break about something that he had heard about Kyrie. It wasn't on the show itself. It was during commercial break that we were having that discussion. It wasn't on the air, but that's neither here nor there. But back to Serena, she's the biggest story. Anytime we're talking about women in the world of sports, I challenge anybody that shows me any story that's bigger than Serena Williams.
Well, I mean, all right, nobody. I just remember as a kid when when McEnroe finally beat Borg, who was number one in the world and the biggest star in the world, to me, the story was McEnroe. Not just because he had a big mouth, but because he was next.
Serena.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Meanwhile, NFL.com ranked the GOAT of GOATs recently, and their seven-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady was numero uno on that list. Brady followed by Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Tiger Woods, and Serena Williams. We bring in two-time Super Bowl champ Damian Woody to the conversation. Damian, top of the morning to you, sir. I will get to you in just a moment, but I need to start with Max Kellerman first, because Max, I understand you're not really a fan of this list, so could you please give me your top five GOATs?
That is an awful list. Oh, NFL.com put Tom Brady number one. That's a shocker. An awful list. Let me give you the real list, and give me a second here. Let me give you my explanations.
Sure.
Number one's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's the greatest athlete of all time. I think everyone knows that. If the fate of the universe was on the line and everyone around the world had to take a vote, who do you give the ball to at the end? Any sport. Everyone's giving it to Michael Jordan. He's going to win that in a landslide. He's number one. He spent 10 years as the best player in the world. Was six for six with six KOs in championships. Babe Ruth is number two. I know he played a million years ago, but guys, he was not only the best hitter and player in the league for more than 10 years, every single year, he was also one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and not just one of the greatest pitchers of all time in the regular season, he was one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time. He was like Barry Bonds and Sandy Koufax in one player, and he did it forever. He's number two. Number three, Muhammad Ali. Not the best pound-for-pound fighter ever, but guys, no one else on this list has to do a pound-for-pound. You know, Tom Brady doesn't get to play, doesn't have to worry about being compared to small quarterbacks. Although Doug Flutie will play in his own league. Oh, my God, Doug Flutie's the best 5'6" quarterback, so he's better than Tom Brady. No, no. Muhammad Ali would have, like Sugar Ray Robinson's the greatest ever, Ali would have beaten the hell out of him. He's bigger. Not his fault he competes in a sport that stratifies according to weight and discounts him somehow. He was also the best in the world for a very long period of time and hit the highest heights. Serena Williams. Look, don't tell me Margaret Court and all that. 23 Grand Slam championships in the modern era, hit the highest peak, spent almost the most time at number one of anyone ever with the highest peak. She's the greatest. Now, Tom Brady, he's on the list. That's amazing. You know why it's amazing? Because for career accomplishment, he's definitely on the list. And his peak was among the best ever. How many years, unlike everyone else on this list, was Tom Brady, did we look and say it's the best player in football? There were some, but there were many years where we thought Peyton Manning was better for good reason, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. I think to be high up number one on the list, you not only need the career accomplishments, which everyone on this list has, but you need to have peaks where people said consistently, that's the best in the world. By the way, Tiger doesn't belong on that list either. Jack Nicklaus won more majors and finished second and third more often than Tiger Woods. So that's the real list. Go ahead, guys.
Well, let me say this to you. I appreciate where you're coming from. Babe Ruth is not on my list. And the reason why he's not on my list is because I don't recall him playing against black players. Am I missing something?
That's not his fault. He didn't make those rules.
I understand that's not his fault, but the level of competition that you're forced to go up against does have some relevance when we're talking about the greatest of all time. And if you're going to ostracize a race of people, particularly when they had some of the greatest players that ever played this game, and you omit them from competition, it's hard for me to put Babe Ruth on that list, even though some people tried to say he actually tried to help black players ultimately get included into the sport. I don't know how true.
And that, by the way, he was part black. That's also their scholarship on that.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it is what it is. But what did he play from 1914 to 1935? Now, I'm not going for that. I would tell you that even though you know how much I love MJ, six-time NBA champion, six-time NBA Finals MVP, undefeated in championship competition, I would still have MJ as number two on my list because I'm not putting anybody ahead of Muhammad Ali because I take into account the level of adversity you had to face in pursuit of your excellence. And when I think about it from that perspective, that's why I put Ali over over Michael Jordan. Ali getting denied the opportunity to fight for years, getting stripped of the heavyweight crown because of his refusal to enter the Army because he didn't want to participate in the Vietnam War and all of this other stuff. And him being a member of the Nation of Islam and some of the adversity that that created. Him being stripped of his title, not being allowed to fight, and then coming back after losing to Joe Frazier and ultimately coming back to avenge that loss and then beating George Foreman. You know, George Foreman was Mike Tyson before there was Mike Tyson. Well, we understand how vicious and menacing it was. I tell you a personal story, Max and Damian and Molly. My father, God rest his soul, was the biggest Ali fan ever. My father cried before the fight because he was scared Muhammad Ali was going to die.
That's how menacing. People were scared of that.
That's how menacing. My gosh. You know this. That's how menacing George Foreman was. He was so scary. They thought Ali was going to die, and he was crying before the fight because he was scared that that would be the last time we saw Muhammad Ali alive. So I got Ali at number one. I got MJ at number two. I have the great Serena Williams at number three. Let me tell you who I put at number four. I have to put Bill Russell. I'm sorry to stay in the sport of basketball. 11-time champion in 13 years. Oh, by the way, two of those titles he won, not just as a player, but a player coach. In Boston, Massachusetts, this man was coaching and playing and leading folks to an NBA championship. This man is still scarred to this very day at some of the vitriol that was aimed in his direction when he was leading them to championships. And still, he led them to championships as a player and as a player coach. That is phenomenal. And last but not least would be Tom Brady because of what Tom Brady just accomplished. So my lead would be, my five would be Ali, MJ, Serena Williams, Bill Russell, Tom Brady.
Well, listen, both of your lists are really good. I'm going to say, I think you both of y'all omitted Wayne Gretzky. I know we don't like talking about hockey here, but I mean, if you look at Wayne Gretzky, the guy they called the Great One, I mean, you're talking about a guy who had nine MVPs, nine league MVPs, four titles. He holds every scoring record in the NHL to this day. He retired in 1999, and think of all the great scoring players that have come behind him, and he still dominates all the record books for the National Hockey League. So I'm going to have to put Wayne Gretzky in there. But as far as my list, I would have Tom Brady at five because when I look at Brady and everything he's done, I consider him the GOAT quarterback. But I always think about in football, you need so many things, so many players to play well around you in order for you to have the ultimate type of success that Tom Brady has had. And he's had a lot of success, particularly in the latter part of his career. But I don't know if Tom Brady has been the best quarterback, has dominated his position like some of the great athletes that we have on this list, whether it's Serena Williams, whether it's Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady, as far as quarterback play and accolades, he's number one. But I don't know if he dominated the quarterback position like those other players that I talked about dominated theirs. So I'm going to put Brady at five, but I got Wayne Gretzky on my list.
I want to answer three of the points you guys made. Two from you, Stephen A. One, Muhammad Ali. If you count off the field
which
of play accomplishments, which is perfectly legitimate, Ali is one. Ali is one. Retire the prize, right? By the way, Pele should be in there somewhere too. Probably. Here's the issue I have.
Yes.
Here's the issue I have with Gretzky. Then I want to mention the thing about Babe Ruth. Gretzky, sure, individual performance, but I can't get past when we're talking about the goat of all goats. He never won a championship after Edmonton. Never won a Stanley Cup. Messier did. You know, he had a good team in L.A. He couldn't quite get it done. And to me, when you compare the GOATs together, that counts against a little bit. We're splitting hairs, I know, but that's the exercise. Babe Ruth, I agree with you, Stephen A. Not only was it a million years ago, competition wasn't the same. They excluded black players back then. Only thing I'll say about Babe Ruth, the reason I still have him too, is he's like Josh Gibson, the great Negro League catcher and maybe the greatest hitter ever in the history of that league, and Satchel Paige combined. Like, it's one thing if he was just a little better than all the hitters. He was way better than all the hitters in Major League Baseball. He was also the best clutch pitcher. So, like, no one else has ever done that in any league.
Let me challenge you on that. I get where you're coming from, Max, and I respect your point. I truly do. What I would say to you in response to that is that ultimately it's against the competition. Max, if I'm on a basketball court and I'm playing against somebody that can't play, that's entirely different than me playing against LeBron or D-Wade or KD or somebody. The level of competition that you're faced to go up against matters. When you're Damian Woody and you're a two-time champion and you walk around with those rings on your finger, you know why it matters? It's because of the league that you played in, the fact that it's considered the creme de la creme, the elite, and you will still walked away on top. If you was number one, if you was number one as an adult, but you were playing against Pop Warner, it wouldn't mean as much. The fact that you go up against the creme de la creme does matter. And when it comes to Babe Ruth, again, it's not his fault. But in the end, if you haven't gone against black players, and we've seen how great black players can be, we've seen the Satchel Paiges, the Jackie Robinsons and others, even Larry Doby and others, we've seen great players throughout Major League Baseball history who happen to be black, and you were kept out of competing.
I get it.
And your numbers were proliferated because you went up against suspect competition. I'm sorry, you don't get it. And especially me as a black man, I'm going to give you, or I'm going to put you, you can put
that's
them on the
legit
list, but I'm going to put you on my top five list, and you didn't go against my people? Hell
that's
no.
Legit.
I'm not doing
that's
it.
That's legit, Stephen A. The only reason I have them there, because I think that's a powerful argument, is no one in any league ever, Negro leagues, major leagues, international leagues, ever did what Babe Ruth did, ever, in any league. So to me, that really tells me something. Anyway, I think both of your lists are pretty good. Bill Russell also played in a league that wasn't nearly as competitive as it became.
Well, it wasn't competitive, but it was what it was. In other words, there were black and white players in the league. You went up against the competition that was great. But a segment of our populace wasn't ostracized and omitted from playing. So I can't hold that against Bill Russell. In his time, he was playing against what was perceived as the best at that particular moment in time. And he dominated as a player and then won as a coach while playing in Boston.
Boston fielded the first all African-American starting five, by the way.
That's true.
Interesting. All right, Damian, thank you so much for being with us. I'll wrap it up by saying this. When ESPN did its Sports Century retrospective 21 years ago, so more than two decades ago, this was the list. MJ, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, we left
that'll
Jim
do it for
off.
Now, but this debate is never over.
Right.
The GOAT debate.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, we know there'll be a lot of movement at the quarterback position this offseason, maybe this year more than any. The Steel City no different with their two-time champ. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert lukewarm on Big Ben's future, saying adjustments of his contract will have to be made. Mr. Smith, this is your squad. You've been watching him for years, rooting for him, paying attention to them closely. What more does Big Ben have to prove?
Well, for me personally, listen, I think he needs a running game. I think he needs an improved offensive line. And a better defense that in terms of getting to the passer would definitely help him, because it'll give him more opportunities to make up for the mistakes he will inevitably and predictably make. In the end, it's not that Big Ben is some scrub. It's not like he's somebody that can't play the game of football. It's just that when we think about the elite quarterbacks in the game of football, he's no longer on that level. Simply makes too many mistakes in order to be considered on that level. And as a result, they've got a decision to make. He's going to count out more than 41.2 million against their cap. He's going to need to take at least a $17 million pay cut in order for them to keep him around. He says he doesn't care about the money, and that's going to be tested because the Steelers are definitely going to test him. You know, with Mason Rudolph and now Dwayne Haskins, that ain't going to cut it. He's very fortunate that that's the fallback plan the Steelers have in place, because there's no way in hell the Steelers should go into next season with Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins as their starting quarterback. So basically, Big Ben could be the quarterback by default so long as he's willing to shave some of the salary that he's owed next season. But in the end, in terms of how much more does he have to prove, he's a two-time champion. He's been to three Super Bowls, but it's been a while since that's transpired in his career. He's had opportunities to get it done. He's had elite receivers to work with. He still hasn't been able to get it done. He's no longer considered a star. He's just a name right now in terms of Big Ben. He's not a scrub, but he's no longer that guy. So, I mean, to me, the one thing that he does have to prove is that if you give him the pieces necessary, he can prevent, you know, he can stop making some of the predictable mistakes that he has made and lead them to something more than what they have right now. That hasn't been the case, and that's unfortunate. But he's not a scrub. He can still play, and I hope that he ends up staying. He's just going to have to give up some of that money so they can go out and utilize that cap space, or the cap space it'll create, to go out there and get some much-needed help for him, because he can't do it by himself.
Ben Roethlisberger has nothing left to prove. We already know what he was in his career at his best. As you mentioned, Stephen A., he's a multiple-time Super Bowl winner. Once as a young player who was an excellent football player, but not a great quarterback yet, so he'd mess up and then make a tackle in the open field in the playoffs. Remember that? And then another time as a more seasoned quarterback who's a truly great player. I don't think he can win a Super Bowl anymore. I think it's going to be very difficult to win a Super Bowl with Roethlisberger. I agree the offensive line is the issue on that team, as it was for several years, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. They can't run block at all. That's why I don't think it's an issue. If you need better running backs, they can't run block. And they can't pass protect. So he's getting rid of the ball super fast and not really a very different kind of style than we're used to seeing him playing. But what does he really have to prove? We know he's going to the Hall of Fame. We know he's truly a great quarterback at his best, and he's had enough career accomplishments. But at his best, he was never the best quarterback in the game. And he usually wasn't even really in the argument for top three. Here and there, certain years, people maybe would argue maybe he's a top three quarterback. But early on, it was Brett Favre and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And then it was Drew Brees replacing Brett Favre. And then later on, it was Aaron Rodgers replacing Peyton Manning, I guess you'd say. But he was never in that first tier. He was the best of the rest. Or if he wasn't that first tier, he was always the last guy in that first tier. Is that going to suddenly change? You know, I mean, if you want to say he has anything to prove, I guess you could say he has to prove he can still win a Super Bowl on the right team, because the Steelers have an excellent defense, and I think they have more or less enough offense. I mean, they could draft another offensive weapon. They really have to fix the line. But do you think with a fixed line, Roethlisberger is your Super Bowl quarterback? He's a competent quarterback still. But are you going to win a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger now? I don't think so.
I'm not going to call him competent. I think that's kind of disrespectful to him. The guy threw for 3,800 yards. He had 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, completing 65% of his passes. I mean, my goodness. I mean, that's not to look at him and say he's finished. That's not a finished quarterback. I mean, those are some pretty decent numbers. The problem is they lost 4 of their last 5 games to end the regular season, and then they lost in the postseason to the Cleveland Browns. So they end the season losing 5 of their last 6. And I blame it primarily on their offensive line and their running game. And Pouncey just retired. You got to fix that offensive line. And you got to get a better running back than James Conner. I like James Conner as a person. I love his story. Please don't get me wrong, but I'm just of the mindset you got to get a better running back than James Conner. You just have to do that, or Snell for that matter. When you look at the wideouts that they have available to them with Juju Smith-Schuster and Claypool and Ebron and and James Washington and these boys. I just look at them and I say, listen, they got a passing attack. They got a passing attack. The problem is when they put too much on Ben's shoulders and they say, throw the ball 50 or 60 times and take us there. No, run the ball, stop the run. That was Mike Tomlin's mantra when he first got introduced as new head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you just got to hope that they can get that together. I hope that Ben's not gone because I don't like their options. I do not like Mason Rudolph as an option. I damn sure don't like Dwayne Haskins as an option. There's no way in hell that you're the Steelers and you can go into the season with one of them as your starting quarterback. This franchise will go nowhere fast.
They got to find the next guy. They haven't done a good enough job finding the next guy.
But until they do, you keep Big Ben Roethlisberger. You showcase for him how he needs to take this pay cut to help the team move forward, and you go with it from there. He said he's made enough money. It's about playing, and it's about winning. Well, guess what? We're going to take the money that we shaved from your salary, and we're going to utilize it to get better assets in here to help you do exactly what you say you want to do. That's their option.
Real quick, if you want to look at Tom Brady, who's the GOAT as a blueprint, but as I mentioned earlier, rarely considered the number one player in the sport as, like, the best guy, you want to look at him as a blueprint? He's the only one, that, to my mind, that I can remember off the top of my head, who consistently took less money. He's the only one. And then he's the GOAT, and those two things are probably related, unfortunately.